Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
it off.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
Oh. Don't step on the one. You gotta start on the two. Find the two, you understand?
I told you I never did any of these dances before.
Now it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now when music starts, you don't dance till the two. You got it?
Yes.
Nice. Nice. Breathe. Frame. Nope.
What makes it better,
man?
People at home might not pick up on.
You kind of see what you get. The ball goes in the hoop a lot.
Have fun while
Joy.
Doing it. You see some
families, threes, the outdoors, movies, music, art, food. So it's not like we're special.
Nothing gets in our way. Boom! Keep coming. Hardcore.
It's a feeling. A heartbeat.
Week it was.
You know, if you're in this league for 13 years of just battling the playoffs in the last basically 10 years, 11 years.
You have a favorite part? I mean, I guess that's good. My favorite part is when it stops because I pick up the call.
So nice. Great song.
Do you have? Are you a guy who has your ringer on for your phone?
No.
Vibrate only.
Jeez, I don't even know if it vibrates.
You just have it pure silent.
Unless I'm expecting I need to, you know, if I'm expecting I need to take a call, I'll put it on. But otherwise, I always keep it off. Generally, because I'm trying to hide my phone from my kids.
Right.
But I don't hide it. I mean, get it.
Feel like, remember the ringtone era? Remember when that was a thing?
Oh, of course.
You had your custom ringtone and...
So now I was single.
Yeah, I never have my phone off silent, and I always have it on vibrate, and if I like accidentally have it on, it catches me like off guard, even though I've set all of my own ringtones and shit like that.
Jake's a big ringtone guy. He's got like Austin Powers, ba-ba-da-da-na, 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 and he's got like a cardinal. He's got a bird call on one. I always think I'm like, oh, there's a cardinal around. Jake's like, no, I'm getting a call.
No.
He's got them all customized. I only have one. I only know when my wife texts me that it makes a different noise. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I like took the, you know, this is early iPhone days, but I went and like picked songs for like a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
And used to remember based off of that.
Oh, man. That was always been my favorite thing about computers in general, going way back. I remember when I first got my first Mac Classic, I was obsessed with just the control panels and just the sounds of droplet, all that stuff.
Yeah,
I loved all that. Even just like a computer, being able to do stuff on your desktop, like, you know.
Yeah, change your icons. Like I would change all my folder icons and stuff like that.
Loved it. Changing colors. But it's like, turns out I never really used them in the way that they should be used.
Right. Yeah.
I just like the fact that you can change them, but they never served a purpose.
You don't have I would some turn things to storage red. System.
Yeah. No, I work too fast. It's like one of my problems. Like, that's what happened to me last week. I forgot to clear my storage. And my Skype crashed. Let's see what I am right now. Oh, I'm fine. But yeah, I got myself a separate drive. Been meaning to transfer stuff. But like, again, I'm always on to the next thing before I actually clean up stuff, you know?
Yeah, when I'm switched over to this new computer, I like reorganized how I was doing Final Cut and stuff. And because I just had one big ass library and like everything was kind of all on top of each other. And now I realize, no, the better thing to do is to make a bunch of different libraries and have different sections for each thing. And it's working a lot better. But then if I have to go get something from like 2 years ago, I'm like, oh my God, dude, what's happening here?
I have like my own system and it works for me. But yeah, I mean, I'm generally, if I don't, the most important thing, dude, is naming convention.
Yeah.
That's the key. Cause then you know how to search. Once you, if you have your search down and you know what you're looking for, but there's occasions where I just, a good example. I love that quote. You that's what the money is for.
Yeah.
Right. That's a sound drop.
Donnie Draper.
But I named it Draper Money. Right. Mm. And every time I go to search for it, I'm looking for money. That's what the money's for. Or something like, basically it's not named correctly to my convention.
Right.
And I haven't changed it. Every right. time I go to look for it, I'm like, damn it. What did I call it? What did I call it? Yeah, I find it.
Here. I have that.
And I don't change it.
What do I have it as?
The other thing is I'll save certain things, but then I have to get rid of stuff. And then I just go back to YouTube and get it.
Yep. But then I have multiple copies of the same thing. You know, it's like YouTube knows that I've been there. Yeah, so I have Don Draper on compensation. That's not exactly super really, easy to find, but
it should just be that's what the money is for. That's it. You
that'd,
know?
That'd be nice. But I haven't been renaming the clips when I pull them off of YouTube. So then I have to kind of think of like how.
You know what you should get, by the way? You have 4K downloader?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's great because then it keeps it in a folder. Like you, I just take that folder and put it into my Finder, left side of my Finder.
I just move it all. I have like different folders for all the shows and stuff, and I like that because then I can be like, when did I use? That's what the money is for, you know. And it's right. like, oh yeah, you used it for this Pack Your Knives episode because it's in the Pack Your Knives folder. But yeah, that's I'm working on a thing right now for Cinephobe. I think my dad was the one who proposed it, a glossary. So yeah. Like, when does an inside joke happen and, you know, what caused it? What episode was it in? And so I've been doing that and like people in the Discord have been helping me out to like figure out like the first time something has been said. So I'm going to do that as like a Patreon content of like, This joke started in this episode at this point and then clip it in and then, you know, and it was easy to figure out like the first time that we did Mustafa from Austin Powers being like, I'm very badly burned. And like, when was the first time that came in? And then I just searched for Mustafa and I found it, you know, in that episode. So
it's fun. Wow, so that's working.
Yeah. It's a fun project to like try and go back because some things I remembered and then some things I'm like, oh man. we've been making this joke for a long time. I do not remember the first time that it happened.
Wow. Yeah, I wish I had something like that because the stuff that we've been doing goes back so far. And I'm like, where did this come from? And when?
Yeah, for sure. It's hard. Yeah. I mean, it's like, it slips your mind. And then when you just do show after show after show, it's easy to like forget where it came from if you don't write it. That's the hardest thing for me lately has been like trying to like while I'm working on an episode, also like trying to think of either like things to clip out for later or
right
like be more present, you know, and like mm-hmm. remember what's happening in the episode as I'm doing it because so much of it is just trying to get through.
the thing, yeah, one of my regrets, I wish I had an assistant for this, but it's just like all the clips, you know, like this 2 minute moment or this, you know,
yeah,
that's something I wish I had an archive of, but I don't. But what do you gotta do?
Yeah, for some of it, it's like part of the podcast game is just like you make another one. you just move forward. Zach, are you here?
I wish.
Yep.
That's the thing. I wish we're working on this whole merchandise content concept at The Athletic, and a lot of it is really about just like when something happens and getting it out there as soon as you can really ups your chances of selling a lot of stuff.
Right.
So like, I wish I had Perk Alert on that t-shirt the other night.
Perk Alert!
Like that kind of stuff. It's just like what you'd want. But, you know.
That's when need a full Levitard show shop and you've just got somebody printing t-shirts while you're recording
episodes. They're so quick with that shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, no dunks too.
Yeah, no dunks gets this stuff real quick.
We'll try start doing
we'll
that
it.
Next season.
We'll get it. I'm not worried about it.
I'm not worried about it.
Oh, I need some fucking food, let me tell you.
I got some here.
Okay. Well, that doesn't exactly help me. But
why
yeah,
don't you eat it, Jade, and share with Zach over?
Yeah, why don't you mama bird me over the Skype?
Describe it really well, and it'll work.
I was told about this new coffee place. This isn't going to be interesting podcast. You can cut all this out. But I was told about this new coffee place. I can go inside and work there and stuff. Because that's what I used to love to do. But then my old place shut down.
Make your own coffee?
No. Like, I can go in there and, like do work. Well, I meant, like...
No, I was on the same page as Jade. I was like, is this some sort of like co-op?
It's like the Kramer,
come in, grind
the
your
Kramer
own beans.
Go make your own pizza thing. No, not, it's not that. But so like, so I can go there and like have coffee and work, but it doesn't look like they have food, which is going to be, it's a toughie for me.
You got to write?
Can you bring food
yeah,
from
I just,
another
I prefer
place?
To not write in the apartment because I'll just get distracted by an Adam Sandler movie or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You,
I put on Grown Ups the other day as like, this won't distract me. I'll be able to have this on in the background and I'll write and stuff. I didn't write a fucking word. I watched the whole thing and it's an awful movie. Like, I hate the movie,
terrible.
But I was locked in. I'm sending videos to the Cinephobe chat.
That's the thing about writing. And writing and reading do that. If I'm video editing is great because you're like, it's a combination.
Yeah.
But writing, I totally, you will get distracted by anything.
Yeah. My number one thing to do is like, you know, listen to a podcast and do something at the same time. And I can't do that with producing because I obviously can't listen to two things at once. So it does keep me more focused and I haven't graduated
like
to the putting the grown-ups on stage.
Don't do it. Dangerous game.
Don't do it.
No, don't do it.
Yeah.
No.
Like, I'm going to check out Charmed today.
Yeah, man.
Charmed, it's always on. I never watch
Charmed will get you. Got a bunch of hot girls on there. Like, Charm's a distraction, man. I don't know what the hell. I never know what's going on.
That's the whole reason it's on.
Yeah.
It's those good-looking ladies.
Oh, man.
Zach, could you bring outside food into this coffee shop?
Oh, that's a good question.
BYOF.
What? Is there another?
Oh, BYOF. I thought you just said YOF. I was like, your own food? Who says your own food? I missed the B.
BY.
Yeah, that's a good question. I probably could. Because ideally what I would do is the place I go now that I take Boogie to, it's like an outside patio stand. So there's no inside, but they have like my favorite breakfast burrito. So if I go buy that breakfast burrito and then go to this coffee shop, I'm just going to do it. What are they going to do? Kick me out?
Yeah. Ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
Yeah. You have any idea who I am? That's what I'm going to yell as they kick me out. No? Well, check out Cinephobe.
Jeez.
A 5-minute exit as you do the whole spiel. Yeah. I mean, there, you know, it's a good bar atmosphere if that you they the bar doesn't have food, but they're like, yeah, get a pizza. Who cares? Like, I'm not trying to bring up pizza again. I was just saying that as a random easiest thing to bring. But yeah, the bar that lets you bring your own food is a chill situation. I'm sure the coffee shop will be the same.
Yeah, especially if they're not offering food. Like, come on.
It's like, you're not meeting all of my needs.
Yeah, make a breakfast burrito. I'm there. I'll be there every morning.
This isn't an exclusive relationship.
Right, exactly.
Even at Starbucks where they have food, they're not going to stop you, are they?
I can't imagine they would. I don't think they'll give a shit.
No. No. That sandwich out of here.
Yeah.
What is it? You think this is a Subway? You piece of shit.
Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay.
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that shit up? Everywhere I go, I get the same fucking smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not scared. You shut up, you fuck. Go ahead and attack me, big fucker.
Oh my God. They were
really playing that Dan Campbell sound on Lebatard show of him talking about drinking the two venti coffees.
Oh, but my God.
The noise that he makes when he did the espresso shot, he's like bombs away. So good.
Plunk, oh, plunk. Man.
That guy.
Yeah, and then the reaction. The reaction in the background was so weird.
Clipping the reaction, but it was right when he did the depth charge sounds.
Oh, I'm so sick of just like everyone's got to react to the coach or the athlete like they said the funniest thing in the world. Fuck that, man. I'm so done with that.
My girlfriend
say something funny.
A big gasper. She'll be like, pretty innocuous things, you know?
Gasper Van Diem.
Dude, tell me more about this. I'm curious because my wife does thing where she talks while breathing in. Mm. Oh my god or something. I don't even know how she does it. I'm like, stop doing that. It drives me nuts.
It's you know, varying degrees of a surprise. It could be do you have any bubbly water in the fridge? Yeah I do. You want one? It's like okay, like that's,
dude, my wife does the same thing.
But she can't help herself. She's a big gasper. She's throwing out gasps pretty regularly. It doesn't need to be really that shocking.
My wife does this thing. She goes, gasper
the friendly ghost.
I don't even know how she does it. I can't even. Oh God, it's so weird. It's breathing in and talking. I can't. It's like a thing she does, and I don't know how she does it.
She learned it from Tenacious D.
But it's always in a gasp. It's always in a gasp-like fashion. You know, it's like something extraordinary happened at her work. You won't believe it, Kate. Yeah.
Man, I was listening to Tenacious D first album that hit the other
Tenacious
day.
Tenacious D,
oh, so good.
Oh man, I was re-listening to that album. I hadn't listened in so long, and man, that thing is so fucking genius.
I showed the kid School of Rock the other night.
Oh God, what great!
Such a great movie. I'd never seen it.
Oh, man. No, it's right up your alley. Yeah.
Ah, man. The kids loved it. When you watch the amount of garbage TV for kids that I do, it was so refreshing. And like my wife has had command of the programming for some time now. And I've been very, you know, okay. All right. But the other night, I'm just like, fuck it. Taking over through school. I had to rent it too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's like, you rented this? And I'm like, I don't care.
She's like,
my wife.
You rented this?
You rented it?
My poor wife. Because I've been wanting to show them to it. And I've never seen it. I've been like, and I just, they loved it. It's such a great movie because it actually creates a thought in their mind of doing something productive. You know, it's like,
yeah, I want to be creative in that way, right? Yeah,
exactly. Like, so much of their content is just like stupid, you know. But it really caused a visceral reaction for Sadie. Like, during like the song, she'd get up and rock, be like rocking her head. Josie loved it. Josie was like beside herself. She's just like a metalhead, Josie. It's so funny. Like, when she hears hard, like a Metallica song, she loves it or something like that.
She would have been in the pit at Woodstock 99.
No doubt. Now, God knows what would happen to her.
But yeah, I mean, School of Rock is great because it's Jack Black and
I love him. I love Jack.
Absolute apex. And then it's him. Mike White, who wrote it, who's like the awkward guy at the beginning.
Oh, is that who he wrote that?
He wrote the movie.
The nerd?
And then it's Richard Linklater, who's like Dazed and Confused and Boyhood and all that. So it's like really
attention.
Not a conventional like pairing of the three of them, but they knocked it out of the park.
And Cusack.
Joan Cusack is amazing in that.
Great.
Yeah.
She's a great actress.
When he finally gets her to loosen up and she's like listening to the jukebox, like drinking. Yeah, that's good. It's a good movie.
Fantastic. Great kid movie. Just a slight bit of sexual innuendo. The kids didn't even get it.
Mm.
Like when he says, like, that's how you score the chicks or something like that.
Right.
Christy's like, Sadie goes, what's that mean? I'm like, don't worry about it.
Talking about little baby chickens.
Don't worry about it. Tenacious D, though. I love them.
So good. Like, Kyle Gass is actually like Juilliard trained in it. Like, he's like a legitimate musical genius.
Yeah. Like, in their movie, they over fictionalize it, obviously. But, like, the idea that Jack Black basically met Kyle Gass and became like his guitar apprentice.
Right.
And then that's what led to this album. And it's just like the two of them, like, smoking weed in a studio, and like, you know, the drive-through sketch, like their sketches make me laugh and shit. Like,
oh, the drive-through is so good. Yeah.
For the Haber show, I did I clipped in the drive-through part. I did the Giannis getting the chicken nuggets, and then I did put two of them up your ass and give me 50 chicken McNuggets.
Oh, man. Hey, I finally figured out what bubble tea was.
Did you have one?
No. It was in Bourdain's show.
Oh, I thought you... Okay, so you sent that picture. I thought you actually found a bubble tea.
Oh, no. That's a shot from Bourdain.
Gotcha. Yeah,
when he's going around Jersey. What a great show. Man, love it. I can't believe he's from Jersey. Do you know this?
I mean, no.
I know. No, I was shocked. I always thought it was
I never think of Jersey in a positive way.
Neither does he, but like, nor should you. It was funny because he grew up, I believe, I don't think he ever specified. No, he does. He grows up in Soprano Town, essentially.
Okay.
Which is right over the bridge. And, it's like he had this one. He takes this bus tour in the episode. It's literally the third episode of the whole thing, and the guy in the bus tour is giving all these facts, like, you know how they do it, Zach. And one of them was Jersey in that area is literally the most toxic area on Earth because of the chemicals they make. There's like they make the most toxic chemicals right there. It's just crazy, though. I was shocked because I always thought he'd be like some guy that grew up in Paris or something like that. Or, I mean, he spent a lot of time in New York City, so it's where his culture comes from. He was a cook there for years. But what a great show, man. Love it. And I can't overstate how, like, if you're friends with Kevin Arnovitz, it's like he's Bourdain. He's Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's like I'm watching this. I'm like, this is Kevin Arnovitz. So funny. Man, I love this show. I'm so psyched because I have the whole thing. And then I have the other one, too. CNN one.
Yeah, there's No Reservations and...
Outer Bounds, what's it called? Parts unknown.
Parts unknown.
Genius, though. The show is genius. And it's funny. They actually have this thing in the show where it's like, they have a parental guide, like, caution, you know? What do you... Like one of those things for Jackass that makes sense, but not for Bourdain. I don't even know why. Why are they putting up a parental guidance?
Is it just because like he's going to talk about like life and drugs and sex and food and stuff?
I still can't.
I don't know.
I can't figure it out. I was like, the only thing I'd come up with was he smokes.
Yeah.
You know, he's always smoking cigarettes. I just was like, what? I think they may have done it to make it seem cool, honestly. You know, like put it up just for that.
Right.
But that's a wonderful show. I love it. And the cooking, man, I was shocked. First, the second episode is, I've only gone three, but like the second episode, first one's China. China's fascinating. But the second one's Paris. And he basically, he goes with a very famous chef who I don't know the name of. And he just tours him around Paris. And they're basically looking for these new, young spots of chefs that aren't really into it for the money, but they're serving amazing food. Mm-hmm. But so you can go there as just a middle class person and get great food without having to break the bank like you usually have to do.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, but just like the level of food that he's like, it's like, and then he comes back to do the Jersey episode and he literally goes to Atlantic City and he goes to Howard Johnson's. he orders the grilled cheese because it's like at a place like this you really can't risk it, you know. It's like the difference level though, and so the eating qualities between our cultures and some of these ones out there is shocking. You're like, oh my god, we really are the worst. So it's ridiculous. But all that stuff,
Mace just put in the Discord, fuck Jared Leto. What prompted that?
They're talking about Suicide Squad and Jared Leto. And someone just said that Jared Leto is good at the over-the-top stuff. And no, he's not.
You said fuck Jared Leto.
He's not bad in everything, though.
Yes, he is.
What about the Requiem?
Oh, my God. Oh, never watching that movie again. That was one of the most painful watches of my life. Like,
For real?
My skin was crawling. Yeah.
So it's because he's good.
I can't even go back there. I know it was good, but he wasn't good in it.
What?
The only good thing he ever did was in Fight Club when they beat the shit out of him. That was perfect.
Yo, dude, it's so funny. I've watched the first half of The Big Short the other night. I hadn't watched it in so long. I didn't even know it at the time, but Succession there. Ken is in it.
Yeah. No, Jeremy Strong. Yeah, he's in it.
I was like, yo, that's a good movie, dude. Big Short.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was the right balance of like a PowerPoint presentation on the financial crisis and funny and with like really good people giving it. Like that's an example of having to deliver like a shit ton of exposition to get people to understand what you're talking about, but doing it really well.
I like the way they break the fourth wall too.
Exactly. That yeah. That's how you know that it's like he's talking directly to you. But
that's a crazy story.
The evolution of McKay, you know, to go from comedy to like really delivering his political thoughts in a very elegant way and make it funny.
Yeah, it's similar to Succession in that way.
Well, he produced Succession.
Right. I'm saying, but it doesn't have the fourth wall thing they do in Short is like very interesting. That never happens, obviously, in Succession.
I'm almost at the end of my rewatch of Succession.
Ooh.
It's going great.
When is that coming? August, September, October?
I think we just have fall as the timeline right now. But
I thought I saw September. But
I heard the Soprano movie's preachy.
Yeah, it just says fall 2021. Sure. Preachy, how so?
I think in the way that the Woodstock 99 is. I saw it. I don't know where I saw it on either a YouTube video or I read it. But it's like, I don't know. It has like some like overarching statement on culture. And it's like, Why?
On Jersey culture?
Let it be American culture.
Fucking marinara sauce and beatings with metal pipes?
Exactly.
I think we'll get plenty of that. I think it's going to be good. I'm excited for that. I mean, I'm just excited for Gandolfini's son playing Gandolfini. Like, that's awesome. And whatever they did to Billy Magnuson's face to turn him into Pauly. Yeah, but it's like a guy who's like more like square jawed and blonde, and they put the wings on him and they gave him like a fake nose and shit. It's gonna be awesome.
We're at Sopranos Con, sitting down with the one and only Tony Sirico, aka Pauly Walnuts, aka a good fella. Okay, the guy is he should have been a comedian, not an actor. Okay. Listen, now he's got me. You know what? That's how you know he's a real boss, because he's got me holding his fucking mic. But I don't mind to, because he's a good friend of mine.
Would you repeat what you just said?
I said, the one and only Tony Sirico.
That I understood.
A.K.A. Pauly Walnuts.
I'm not sure I understood that one, but then.
A.K.A. The Enforcer.
Oh, we all know him.
A.K.A. Go Fuck Yourself.
And what, you and your brother. Now,
when you went, did you go to, because you did acting late. Did you go to acting school, or
yes,
you just?
Yes, I did. 4 years. What are you talking about, Michael? Christ.
Oh, Mata?
No. He worked with the Jew. Back then.
You know, I remember you saying, Mike what?
Oh Christ! Every actor in New York knows him, and I studied under him for 4 years. What a wonderful man!
You know what I remember too? I remember when you saying that. Used to do a lot of parts like improv. You would just stretch the scene, and then they would say, do that over again. You're like, I don't know what the fuck I just said. Do you remember those moments?
That sounds like me.
Red, red wine, go to my head, make me forget that I still need a soul. Red, red wine, it's up to you. All I can do, I've done, but memories won't go. No, memories won't go. I'd have sworn that with time thoughts of you would leave my head. I was wrong, and I find just one thing. Tearing apart my blue, blue heart. I'd have sworn that with time thoughts of you would leave my head. I was wrong, and I find just one. It's tearing apart my blue, blue heart.
What do we got for questions?
Questions. Conlon Dreshew at Convolutionary asks, what's the weirdest kind of jerky you'd be willing to try? And then a bot named Jerky Gent at Jerky Gent chimed in and said, how about churro beef jerky, and put a link.
I'll try any jerky.
It's all the same. Are you a big jerky guy?
No, but it's all, it's like, I don't know what I like more. Well, I mean, I'm not a big jerky guy, but I've had it. And whenever I have it, I kind of enjoy it. But I like, it's a texture thing for me. It's not necessarily a flavor thing.
The chewiness.
Yeah, just like pulling that thing, you know, the jerky.
Yeah.
But that didn't really work. I don't know. I don't like too much of that hickory, the overpowering smoky hickory thing, whatever. But turkey, beef, give it to me, whatever.
What about like alligator?
I'll do it.
Oh, alligator's good.
Rabbit jerky.
What about human?
No, that's what I'm drawing. Most the
dangerous
line.
Jerky. I don't know, man. What if it's like really good?
It's probably really is good. Probably is.
Snapping turtle jerky?
That's an untold history. Trust me. Not trust me, but trust my knowledge in the
shark jerky?
The cannibalism.
The cannibal
history.
Game?
We don't talk about it, but it's so prevalent in history. It's crazy. People always think, oh, I mean, they see that movie, the plane crashes in the Andes.
Oh, Alive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, cannibalism has been going on since the dawn of time.
Hey, man, you got to eat something.
Right? The Terror. Well, it's the Terror of the show. It's phenomenal. That had a little cannibalism in it.
I mean, I've...
Foot jerky.
I have not really partook in too much jerky in the last 5 to 10 years. I'm not really a big jerky guy. I would try any of this, I suppose.
Generally, it's a little, I don't know how, if, you know, the longer it ages, the more it dries out. But if you get a little bit of juice in there, it's the better. Too dry. It's often too dry.
I mean, it just doesn't, like, I guess what people get it for, like, road trips or backpacking. Camping. when you're got your couscous and you got your jerky. But. You could bring it to space. Like, I guess you could bring jerky to space. I guess that's a good thing.
Could bring it to space. Jeff Bezos.
I'm generally going to prefer to, like, I'd rather just have, like, a cooked piece of meat than, like, super dehydrated, chewy jerky.
Yeah, I guess it just, like on a road trip, don't mind diving into a bag of jerky. But it's never anything I would buy outside of a road trip.
No, I never buy it. It's always someone has it.
Yeah.
Want some jerky? Sure.
And they're always trying to unload it. Yeah. They're always trying to spread that shit around because you can't just eat a just whole bag of jerky.
It's always, I've had friends who make it, you know? I think my brother-in-law does that. He lives in the woods. That makes perfect sense. Well, we got to the bottom of that.
Just a couple of jerky jerks. Justin Stamer at the J-Man, 831. In the spirit of Neil Diamond being the greatest songwriter ever, who is the second best songwriter of all time?
Bro, wait, who said he's the best?
Saving Silverman, the movie, is a giant love letter to Neil Diamond.
It's funny because I took the kids the other night, last Friday night, to see a Neil Diamond tribute band.
Oh, because you took him to that Beatles cover.
The Beatles.
Thing before,
and then
right?
they did Neil Diamond last weekend. It was phenomenal. I love Neil Diamond. It's great. What's the question?
Favorite songwriters, greatest songwriters.
Oh.
I mean, I feel like
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say Bob Dylan. He is not my favorite.
There's so many. But he would probably be my favorite.
And then I think you're kind of getting it like songwriters,
dude, the Bee Gees.
Including lyrics or just
I won't go with my
music.
I won't go with both. Both.
Yeah, Rolling Stone has Bob Dylan and then Lennon and McCartney as the big three, obviously.
Yeah, I won't go with standard, but Bee Gees, man. 64 number one hits, I think. 64? Is that? No, that can't be right.
Is a lot.
It is. But they had so many songs, like where they wrote the songs, and it was another artist that had the number one hit.
Yeah, started writing songs for Barbra Streisand and stuff. I think Stevie Wonder, Stevlin Judkins.
It must have been 64 on the top 100. It's 64 number ones is crazy. Bee Gees had 9 singles reach number one, which according to Billboard puts them in third place for the most number one in history after the Beatles and the Supremes.
Nine
times. I don't remember.
Where's BTS in this? They don't write their songs.
Probably because he wasn't sick. He was skipping school.
No, I'm going with Prince. Wake up. Give me Prince.
Smell the coffee, Mrs. Bueller.
It's a phenomenal. Cool
yeah, paradise. Yeah, Prince is the one for me.
Did you see the Drake what's his name? Kanye thing last night?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Clips.
His insanity just knows no bounds. Like I was going to come in and ask who got higher last night, Jade or Kanye, when he's being lifted up through these lights?
I saw that, dude. That would freak me out.
Speck. It's a speck of...
He did it.
Human.
Was that definitely him? Was that him?
I believe it. He's been living in the stadium for like a week. Or like a month.
Dunda.
But he's holding everybody hostage again. He's doing this shit where it's just like he's not. Says he's going to release something and then doesn't.
Yeah.
Just keeps fine tuning it. I mean, it was Life of Pablo where he did this, right?
Where was that? In Atlanta?
Come to me softly. Quietly, oh baby, then whisper your love, 'cause that's what I'm gonna tell you, how much I love you, with not only my lips, oh no, 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 oh no, baby, but with all of my heart, kiss my lips gently.